I'm Dennis Moran, creator of Tales from the Sixth Sun, and you're listening to True North Country Comics Podcast.
Welcome to the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book and graphic novel creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Dennis Moran about Tales from the Sixth Sun and more in advance of the Toronto Comic Arts Festival 2024. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, and YouTube Video. Please like and subscribe to that video channel. The Toronto Comic Arts Festival, or TCAF, exists to promote the breadth and diversity of comics and what is considered comics as a legitimate medium of literary and artistic worth. TCAF seeks to promote the creators of these works and their broad and diverse voices for the betterment of the medium of comics and to reach as broad an audience as possible for them. TCAF is held from May 11th to 12th at the Toronto Reference Library. Dennis Moran is an animator and illustrator living in Ottawa, Ontario. He self-publishes volumes of his ongoing fantasy series, Tales from the Sixth Sun, while drawing special effects animation for sci-fi and fantasy shows such as Scavenger's Reign, Exploding Kittens, Inside Job, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and X-Men 97. A DM for over 15 years, he has a cat named D20, and has recently developed an original tabletop RPG using the magic system of his comic series. Dennis has created an ongoing adventure series called Tales from the Sixth Sun, a fantasy adventure. The story centers on a woman, Topaz, an energy mage, set in a world filled with blade fighting, monsters, and mystical creatures. Their magic powers derive from their devotion to one of the various gods, and sometimes the gods aren't in their favor. Dennis describes the genre as a slice of knife. So without further ado, here's my chat with Dennis Moran about Tales from the Sixth Sun and more, in advance of the Toronto Comic Arts Festival 2024. So Dennis Moran, thank you very much for taking time to chat with me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time. Before I get going with all the questions, I would like to know, what was the first comic book that you read?
I would probably say Calvin and Hobbes. Because I think most of the comics that I read growing up ended up being X-Men comics, and I read just all kinds of random stuff out of order. But I think super early, I really was drawn to Calvin and Hobbes. I love the way that it's drawn. I think the backgrounds especially are just so well illustrated. And, you know, at the time I wasn't thinking about it necessarily like that. I was just thought they were funny, but that's one that I keep coming back to. And I'm just like, wow, Watterson is just like really good draftsman.
Yeah,
it's cool that he had those certain ones where he would flex and they'd be like imagining that they're dinosaurs or in space or something, and he'd just get to really fall out.
Oh yeah, there's times when you think it's like some space battle, like from something from the 50s, and then you turn the corner and wait a second, it's Calvin in his imagination. Amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
That's cool. Well, good stuff growing up, but I'm wondering who or what inspires you to create today?
Today, I think that my biggest influence is an artist called P. Craig Russell. He is just, again, an incredible draftsman. But something that I'm really trying to learn from reading his comics is he's really good at controlling silhouette and sort of amount of detail and backgrounds and things. He has a great sense for color, so when he does his own color, it's really, really beautiful. And I think a lot of times when there's multiple artists working on the same comic, when it's, you know, somebody doing the drawing versus the coloring, inking, everyone kind of wants to flex at once, so it becomes a little overwhelming sometimes. But when the artist is inking his own drawings and then coloring his own inks, you kind of have a harmony where the color is not doing too much of the work because the drawing is more detailed, or, you know, changing the balance.
Very good. Well, we're here talking because you're going to be exhibiting at the Toronto Comic Arts Festival, which is great. So I've got to ask you then, what do you like most about conventions or festivals?
Well, to be honest, I really love marketing in person and meeting people at my table. I am not great at online marketing because it's not my primary source of income. So I think I just enjoy tabling so much because I get to talk to people about the work. I get to see what other people are doing. And even if people don't buy anything, it's still really interesting to, you know, see what the work is reminding them of or talk to them about what they're watching. I just love meeting people and chatting.
Yeah, that's a good thing for sure. And there'll be a lot of people to meet at this show. Yeah. That's for sure.
I know it's pretty exhausting, but it is really fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. How about a favorite moment that you've been to a convention or a festival in the past? Anything stand out? Any memorable meetings or experiences?
I think maybe my favorite moment would be there was one year I table at FlameCon a lot. It's a sort of queer Comic-Con in New York City that has a lot of different stuff every year. And there was one year where they had an event for people who have a new book. I had a zine out that year that was like a short comic retelling the Hyacinth myth from Metamorphoses. It's like a classic Greek myth. And they did an event where you were like presenting your new book to a bunch of people, whoever wanted to attend the panel. And I thought that was cool. I don't know if they still do that, but it was nice to, because there's so, it's so overwhelming. There's so many tables and everybody's, you know, trying to push their new stuff. But it was cool to see the other artists like, just go up and they have, you know, they show an excerpt and they talk about it and why they made it. And it's just like a little bit more focused. And then also gets people opportunity to buy the book, even if they wouldn't have come by your table.
Yeah, it's a neat idea. Absolutely. Sure. So as I mentioned before, you're going to be at this year's Toronto Comic Arts Festival. With that in mind, can you explain a bit about what will be on your table when attendees come by to see you?
Sure. Yeah. So I mostly do fantasy illustration. I've been writing and illustrating a fantasy adventure comic for, I don't even know, so many years now. So I tabled 2 years ago and I had a reprint of the first volume, but now I'm going to also have the second volume, which I printed last year of my fantasy comic. It's called Tales from the Sixth Sun. And it's very magic heavy, very colorful. A lot of the first book doesn't have any text, which is something I really like about a lot of French comics. Yeah, so I'll have the two books and I'll have a bunch of new stickers, including a set of iridescent holographic X-Men stickers that I just gotten printed and I'm really excited about them. They look awesome.
Very cool.
I'm going to have the Hyacinth comic. I've reprinted that a couple of times that I mentioned I presented at that other event because people just keep coming back for it. It's a little spicy, but one of my favorite projects. And a coloring book. I also make jewelry. I usually have some like brass jewelry that's really simple for a small item. That's also fun because I like to sit and make work on the jewelry and like do custom sizes and stuff while I'm sitting at my table. I think it's nice to have something to do with your hands that doesn't take too much attention so that you can still chat, but you're not like on your phone or getting absorbed into drawing.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a little bit of something for everybody. How about that?
Yeah. It's going to be very, mystical, colorful table. I love having like, you know, doing nice color balance, different cloths and draping, and I'll have a big banner and stuff.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, going back to Tales from the Sixth Sun, how would you describe it to someone? If someone came up and said, what is this? How would you say, what's the story about?
Sure, yeah. So, like I mentioned, it's sort of a fantasy adventure. I have a joke with a friend of mine that the genre is slice of knife, because it's sort of a, like, it's a slice of life adventure if you were somebody who had crazy stuff happening to you all the time. It centers on a woman called Topaz, who is an energy mage, and she has a lot of different like motion-based abilities, sort of telekinesis, and there's a lot of blade fighting and a lot of monsters and mystical creatures, and all the magic powers that people have come from their devotion to one of the various gods. So sometimes the gods are influencing events based on whether you have a lot of favor with them, or sometimes they try to influence against you.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so a big fantasy adventure then, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. I want to switch gears a wee bit and talk about the tools used to create your art. Maybe you can walk me through like how you made Tales from the Sixth Sun.
Yeah, so these days I'm drawing Volume 3 on my iPad, but you know, pretty simple. But the first book, I used to use a really crazy inking method, which I still love, but it's just not that feasible in my adult life with a full-time job. So my inking method for many years was, I used to do a lot of blacklight art. And so I had this whole setup where I would draw with these invisible markers that would light up under a blacklight. And so I do all my layouts and I do my drawings, and then I'd sit there and ink under the blacklight in the middle of the night, so that then, you know, you turn on regular light or you scan them and all of the sketching and messy stuff is completely invisible, but you don't have to deal with an eraser or, you know, smudging the paper or the, you know, inking over pencil lines. So it was really fun, but at a certain point I realized I was just, you know, if I'm going to color it digitally, but might as well just draw it on a computer. But yeah, I really like drawing it on the iPad now. It took me a while to get used to doing that because I use a tablet at work, but the sort of glossy surface and everything took a bit of getting used to. But the Hyacinth project was actually a short comic I did to basically try out what would it be like to make comics using Procreate on the iPad. And it's only 8 pages, so it was very containable. And yeah, I think I draw a little bit differently, but I like it a lot.
Cool. Now, I was reading a bit of your background. It says you do some work in animation, and you happen to work on a little project called X-Men 97. So congrats on that. I've got to say, first of all, that's tremendous. Lots of great stuff there. So I've got to ask you then, how does animation work influence your comic book work, or vice versa?
I think they both feed each other a lot. And I think about this because there's certain ways, you know, at first I would say, oh, I draw the same way. But then as I got better at both of those things, I realized that, like, you really can't draw the same way so I work specifically as an effects animator. So when I'm at work, I'm just doing billows of smoke and lightning, and on X-Men, I'm doing a lot of superpowers, which is awesome. It's super fun. But for things like that, like when I'm doing my comics, which have a ton of magic effects and spells, I think it's interesting because you have to kind of have multiple frames of effects animation within one panel of a comic. Like the swoosh of an energy blast or something, it has more detail than it would if I were doing it as animation, because effects animation, especially energy effects, they kind of move so fast that if they're too detailed, it just gets really confusing. So I think doing animation has helped me, sort of like what I was talking about with P. Craig Russell's art, like really hammering down the design of the silhouette so that it reads at a glance. And then in a comic, adding details that sort of enhance the movement, even though you don't have any movement. You're like conjuring the illusion of animation with a still image, which I think is really fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's an art into itself, that's for sure. That happen.
I'm definitely still, you know, trying to master.
All in good time. Good stuff. So you've been talking, I think you hinted about a third volume of Tales from the Sixth Sun, but I'm wondering, do you have any other up and coming projects you can talk about?
Yeah. So because, you know, of course, everything always piles up at once. While I was writing the third volume, which I'm now drawing, I also started creating a tabletop RPG, which I'm really excited about. This is kind of my main side project right now. It takes place in the same world as Tales from the Sixth Sun, and it uses the magic system, which, again, is sort of, there's 9 gods, and the broad strokes of what makes this tabletop RPG different from ones you might have played is that all of your stats and different powers and stuff come from how much favor you have with the different gods. So it's kind of fun to bring that flavor into it, and yeah, I've been writing a ton of stuff. I just had a whole breakthrough this week, and I've been redesigning the character sheet, and probably not going to be able to keep myself from talking about it at my table at TCAP.
Okay. Yeah. Lots to look forward to. Now, you mentioned people coming by, and more than likely you're going to get someone coming up and saying, hey, I'm making my own book. What advice would you give to that person who's thinking of making their first book? What would you say to them?
Well, I was just having this conversation with somebody, recent grad. I think there's a lot of advice going around online that is kind of a good thing, but also kind of misguided, where you know, to say, oh, you have your epic fantasy story in your head, you should start with something small and get used to doing comics. And in some ways, that's kind of true. But it's also like, what are you waiting for? I think if you have a cool idea, you can always just start it. And if you want to redo some of it later or throw some of it out, just do that. Like, I would say just make the thing that you want to make. Don't hold off until you will at some point feel, oh, I'm good enough now to make the project I really want to make. Like, if you're somebody who who's anxious about that, there's probably not a point where you'll feel like, okay, I'm ready to make this project I've been working on forever. I don't know. So I had a friend who was kind of giving me this speech several years ago, and I ended up making the first few pages of Tales from the Sixth Son in the New York Museum of Natural History, because I was like stressing about how to start the story. And she was like, just start it right now. Start it with something like not important. And if you hate those pages, throw them out. And so a lot of the stuff in the first chapter was just things in the museum that I saw, like the jungle. And there's the first time we see Psychedelic Cat is like a big sort of spirit tiger. That's just a drawing I sort of adapted from looking at the jaguar exhibit at the Natural History Museum. So I'd say just start it. And also, you know, I'm always telling everyone, you got to practice drawing. You got to keep a sketchbook.
That's good advice for sure. For sure. Lots of good stuff there. So with everything you have on the go now and today, I'm wondering, for the future even, is there a website where you recommend people go to find out more about you and what you've got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a website. It's dennismoran.xyz. It's mostly short films and animation reels and stuff. But my Instagram, which is Capricorpse, is a lot more active. And that's where I'm going to be posting clips from the X-Men episodes that I've worked on. But it's also a lot of sketchbook stuff. It has links to the comic, which you can also read online. And stuff about stickers and stuff I'm making. I'm mostly active on Instagram.
Great. Well, Dennis, those are all the questions I have for you, but I'm wondering, is there something I didn't ask that you'd like to get across in this interview?
I would definitely say, you know, if you're an X-Men fan, go run up those numbers. The show looks incredible. I didn't get to see really any of the episodes other than the small parts that I was working on until the show came out, and it's just phenomenal. I worked on basically just the finale of the season, so today... The new one that came out today had a big Jubilee moment that I animated her effects. Jubilee's powers are so much fun to draw. We're definitely getting a season two, but if you watch it enough times and you tell your friends about it, we'll probably get a season six, which would be awesome.
Thanks to Dennis for the chat. You can discover more about Dennis on Linktree at linktree.com/capricorpse and on Instagram at instagram.com/capricorpse. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. And please check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. True North Country Comics is on YouTube. Please like and subscribe to that video channel and hit the notification button. You can follow along at True North Country Comics on most social media sites. Please send any and all feedback to John@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics Podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2024.